like no reason. Like it can't be like somebody who did something wrong, like for no reason.
See,
Jason, you're always like the most sensible, level-headed person.
He has a good heart.
Yes, you do.
I don't hate anybody, and which pisses Christine off. She hates a lot of people. She's like, you're too. No one's hurt you before. I was like, I guess that's a good thing.
Can I segue this into basketball? So, is there? Who do you think the Raptors fan base hates more right now, Joel Embiid or Goran Dragic?
Oh, Dragic. Ooh. Dragic for sure.
I want to,
I feel like because with Embiid, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, here's where we are today. And, you know, the shot. Like, we still won and we won a championship. And who knows if these guys are going to make it out of the East. I'm not saying that they're not good, but against the Bucks, against the Heat, against...
No, man, they're not getting past the Heat.
No, exactly. So, like, I can't see that happening, you know, but let them enjoy it while they're in this moment. Embiid's having an MVP caliber season. It's just because he's being a jerk about it. Having said that, Dragic is like, for listeners at home who were fortunate enough to not know this, he tweeted a bunch of crying, laughing emojis when we lost. And it's like, yeah, you got swept. Like, this is a guy who, like, this bothers me because I was actually trying to justify him being here and his initial thoughts. Like, I tried to justify.
Oh, you're the one with the good heart.
Not anymore. This guy is being a real, real kid about it. And I'm gonna spotlight this because I need to. There's an iconic clip. I think it was the Slovenian team. Yeah, where it's like this iconic clip where they're like up by a few points, but they're giving away the lead. And he's like, all right, guys, let's close out the win. And nobody's like looking happy. And he's like yelling at them like a real commander would. Like, why do you keep your head down? Like, look up, keep your head up high and let's play. And it's like, yeah, where's that guy now? You know, you cried your way out of a Toronto Raptors team, which is quite good. And you know, were a real arrogant prick about it. And then you go to Brooklyn. And yeah, you perhaps played better than a lot of other players did on that team, but you got swept. And now you're laughing at this. You know, newsflash, asshole. You know, ring chasing makes you look not like that person who you claim to be, the person who fights your adversity. And you suck, which before I pass it off to anybody else, I made our WhatsApp group that we talk through Goran Dragic themed. It's called Dragic Has Ambitions. And it's like our avatar is a very big close up of his face because good riddance to whatever team wants to hire you.
Well, welcome.
I was hoping Jason introduced the show.
100%. Welcome to That's Rep Podcast, a podcast for Raptors fans, by Raptors fans. And shout out to Rob Paris, who always gives us a therapy session. And I shouted him out too. I was like, you know what? We don't need it because this was a great year for the Toronto Raptors. But I think for Dre and Jay and myself, we'll use this episode in particular as a therapy session because the Raptors ultimately lose in 6 games against the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round matchup in the playoffs. So, guys, I want to say that was a pretty that was a hard way to go, for sure. Mainly because, you know, we got blown out in our own building. However, it wasn't like we folded right in the beginning. It was actually a very close game in the beginning of in the first half, and then adjustments made, or, you know, it's just us, we couldn't make any shots. It just suddenly became a 17-0 run, and I think that was it. The tires were blown, whatever, you know, however you want to put it, we couldn't put the ball in the basket. We couldn't stop the ball from getting into the basket for the 76ers. So ultimately, there you have it. That is the season. I want to get your first initial thoughts about the series as a whole, maybe what we can come out of it negatively or positively. I just want to know your general thoughts as we wrap up this incredible season.
Dre, why don't you go first? I've got my thoughts.
Sure. Well, I don't think I have a negative bone in my body after that, so I'm probably going to be quite optimistic. So As somebody who
you already got it all out. Like I think you held it in for a because this is the thing. The Raptors, suffice to say, we're recording this on Friday, April 29th, a day after the Raptors were eliminated. So it's not like it's right at, like, you know, shout out Will Liu. We're gonna do lots of shout outs of people who have been doing the whole broadcasting and everything like that. But like, he already does the post game. But now it's like, for Raptors fans, we've had time to digest the fact that we are out of the playoffs, and now, you know, it's like a different feeling, you know what I mean? After the initial, like, crap, we got eliminated, now it's like, let's look at the big picture.
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of things. First off, as somebody who actually does like the Sixers team, just not when we face them in the playoffs, because I will always prefer the Raptors because, you know, I grew up with the team. Like, I'm happy that they are going through. I will say that I'm not sure if the near giveaway of a 3-0 lead was on the Sixers underperforming or if it was through the Raptors persevering. But the Sixers going forward are going to have to figure that out because they don't want to match the inconsistency of the Heat, especially because I feel like the Heat are destined to be exposing, you know, let's say, flaws in a system. And I personally feel like Spoelstra is a better coach than Rivers. So we'll see what that looks like. But otherwise, I'm kind of fine with them going through. I'm happy. You know, Embiid, despite his nonsense, is somebody that I wouldn't mind seeing having a championship ring. You know, like, I feel like this is a Sixers team that has gone through so much, you know, the whole process thing. I would like for that to actually end and on a good note. As for the Raptors, look, there were some things that I would have preferred, like if certain players kind of caught their magic a little bit earlier in the series or, you know, whatever have you. And we could forget that third quarter yesterday ever existed. But this is a young core team. We have a few kinks we have to figure out, but not many. And I feel like the future is highly bright. I feel like all that's missing is that veteran presence. And I feel like the more playoff series that we play, the more we'll have that. And we still have a few key pieces of that championship run, particularly Siakam, who has been playing phenomenally, especially yesterday. I feel like he was like one of the lone people to keep us in this thing. And we also have Van Vliet, who unfortunately was persevering through injury during this series, so we don't have a good read on that. But we also have Rookie of the Year Scottie Barnes. I feel like the future is bright. I'm not worried. As for the Sixers going through, I think that it's going to make for a hell of a second round. I'd love to see what happens between them and the Heat.
Yeah, it's you know, and I should take a step back here. I know that I was pretty pessimistic on Philadelphia's chances against the Heat, and, you know, on this very podcast, Jason also predicted that the Sixers would get past the Heat in seven, right? So and I'll give him some credit there because, you know, he's gotten more of these predictions right than I have, right? So I was in the building for the game, and it was there was an ominous feeling to it. And I can say that now in hindsight, but I'll be honest, when I entered the building, the feeling from everyone on Meteor Row and a lot of folks on Raptors Twitter was that this really is a nothing to lose type of scenario, right? It's a dream scenario where, A, it's kind of a trap game because we're looking forward to game seven and looking forward to the Heat and looking forward to Doc Rivers collapsing all over again. But also it was a kind of game where even if the Raptors lost, you have essentially what Dre just described, right? This feeling of this was a successful season, right? And that's a weird feeling to have when you're in a do or die situation, right? And, you know, ultimately the Raptors fell because of the concerns of how this team was constructed came to light, right? I mean, before the season started, if I told you that the Raptors would fall apart or would not succeed or get far this season because of a half-court offense that did not execute or because they didn't have the right roster construction to combat Joel Embiid, you would totally believe that. And that's exactly what happened, right? And the Raptors were able to still show throughout the season that despite those weaknesses, they're still able to thrive, right? And Nick Nurse continues to climb up the ladder of most respected coaches. He consistently showed that Vision 6-9 is a real thing and can thrive in today's NBA. You know, it was just last week that everyone was saying how the Raptors are the team that no one wanted to face in the playoffs, right? And Philly, give credit to Philly, right? They really did show out, right? And in three of their wins, they owned the Raptors and played to their potential. How that will look against Miami is a different story, but you know, all kudos to the Raptors for an exceedingly wildly unexpected and surprisingly good season. I'm looking forward to what the offseason beholds. I'm not sure what kind of, I haven't really put my hat on in terms of like what the offseason will look like in terms of pickups and moves and things of that nature, but I'm just happy. I'm going to spend this next week and just really reflect on how amazing the season has been.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the brackets right now, and I'm just looking at the teams that, you know, have been eliminated already. We're still waiting on the Memphis and Minnesota team or a series, but you know, just looking at the East and looking at the teams that have been eliminated, Atlanta, Chicago, Brooklyn, and us. And it's like, how many of those teams have a future, and bias aside, more of a future than ours? Like, we're looking at just thinking about the season alone, Rookie of the Year, Scottie Barnes, phenomenal season, obviously. But not only that, but you're talking about like someone like Precious Achiuwa, who got shot one three last year and is now one of our, you know, outside of Gary Trent Jr., Fred VanVleet, probably one of our top 3-point shooters on the team. And you got, of course, Gary Trent Jr., who is known as a scorer, but definitely have stepped up when it comes to the defensive end. And you have like the core of like, or the backcourt of Chris Boucher and Kem Birch and Thaddeus Young. I believe next week we'll talk about like what we want, where we want to see what Masai wants to do, or, you know, or the future of what the team's going to be look like next year. But like, I just don't see the future when it comes to Chicago, Brooklyn, Atlanta, perhaps because of Trae Young and their young core. But like for Toronto, it's like, there's so much to look forward to, you know, and both Fred and Siakam are still growing into their own. OG is still growing into his own as well, and no other team is playing like we are. No Vision 6-9 is in any of these other teams that are playing right now. So yes, the Philly was probably a nightmare match because we don't have a big to withstand Embiid, but we were also a nightmare matchup for them. And honestly, we were the only team in the East that won 2 games. And outside of, you know, Brooklyn got swept, Chicago only 1 game, kind of felt like they got swept, Atlanta only got 1 game. Like, it was a great, great season. And this series, there was no way that I thought we were going to make it to the fifth seed playing a Philly team in the beginning of the season, and now we're here. Yes, we lost in pretty disheartening fashion, but like, I'm so happy and proud of this team, and I'm so happy that like the fans gave them the love at the end of the game yesterday. And Jay, you were there. Like, I know it was a little somber around the like middle of the third, but like, you knew it was coming. Right when you got when Nurse cleared the bench and then gave a chance for the crowd to cheer on Siakam and the team, like, how was that feeling when you knew it was the end, but it was kind of going out in a positive note?
You know, there's an unwritten rule in media row that you're not a fan, right? You're there to work. You're there to cover the game. I was not so good in following that rule. I think back to the game earlier this year where it was the Thunder, and you know, there was the last second tip in by Justin Champagne that was a fingernail late. I jumped for joy, and I shouldn't have, but I couldn't hide it. But my point is that what I was noticing in Media Row is that I could hear little reactions here and there. Like you could tell that even the media could sense that the end was coming, right? And I'm gonna throw a little bit of shade here because you know I just need to get this off my chest, but I was fairly disappointed with the crowd last night.
Okay.
Word got out fairly, you know, it's same day, but still, like, well, when it's game day, there you should be ready, right? As a fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was word that went out fairly early about, okay, this is the timing. It's 7:06 is tip, right? This is not one of those, we say it's going to start at 7, but really it starts at 7:20. No, it is anthems at 6:50, you know, tip off at 7:06, like, get in your seats, right? This is still, like, even though it is a house money type of game, still it's do or die, right? The season could end mm-hmm. tonight. And I would say 1/3 of the seats were still empty by tip off.
Mm.
The crowd was at its best in the second quarter when Siakam was leading the charge and Trent was his shots were falling and the Raptors grabbed a lead. Like, it was definitely loud. But after halftime, quiet. And again, credit to Philly for quieting the crowd. But you know how there was a scene during game 5 in Philly where the Sixers got the lead down to 9 and the crowd started to cheer. And within, I think it was 3 seconds, Scottie Barnes threw an alley-oop and shut the crowd up.
Right. Yep.
But I was looking for that. I was looking for that in the second half. When the Sixers were going on their 17-0 run, there wasn't that. Support. There wasn't that support, right? And the crowd was seated and they were quiet. And by the time they started to make noise, it was only in the fourth quarter when they were training F Embiid, or they were screaming at the refs, or they were booing Joel Embiid for doing the airplane thing. But
that's still not support. That's just being antagonizing the other team. But where's the support for the Raptors to try and get them out of a 20-point hole?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And that's exactly my point, right? And so I was a bit disappointed in the crowd. You know, it didn't feel like it was there was the appropriate level of support there, right? And it's funny because before the game, Danny Green said that, you know, the reason why he felt like the Sixers had lost the previous two games was that there wasn't the appropriate level of fear. And I think that was evident from the Sixers from the jump, right? Harden was aggressive. Maxey was aggressive. Danny Green was making hustle plays. Like, those were that's the type of performance that Philly should have brought in game 5 in front of their home crowd. You know, better late than never, and they're on to the next round. But, you know, bringing this back to the Raptors, there just wasn't, and I'm not saying they didn't bring the appropriate level of focus or game. It's just, you know, this is why coming back from a 3-0 deficit has never been done before, because at a certain point, your legs run out on you. At a certain point, the shots don't fall. At a certain point, mm-hmm. your defensive schemes are not running as fluidly as they were, because it has to be on point, no breaks. You're not playing 48 perfect minutes. You're playing that times 4, right? So again, it's unfortunate that it didn't end the way we had all kind of hoped for after they fell down 3-0. But at the same time, yeah, man, this is such an exciting time to be a Raptors fan, because there's so much to look forward to. If I could highlight one person, it would be Scottie Barnes. I know when he hurt his ankle at the end of game 1, the concern was, okay, even if the Raptors lose this series, the goal that Nick Nurse kept talking about, specifically towards the end of the season when he was still playing his guys 40 minutes and a playoff seat was already secured, was that I want to make sure that we're A, not playing a play-in game, and B, that our young guys get this experience. Now, Jason, you referenced that there were some championship guys on this roster, but we're also the youngest team in the playoffs. And
yep,
this experience, like getting Scottie Barnes back, huge. Getting some valuable minutes out of Precious Achiuwa guarding Harden and Embiid, huge. Seeing Boucher, right, you know, rock out on game 6, amazing. Like this, and Gary Trent too, coming back from his non-COVID illness, perfect. Like, this kind of experience is going to build them, right? It's going to strengthen them. And next year when they're coming back full strength, I mean, sky's the limit for these guys.
I also think that you can't not emphasize the fact that we could easily still be tied 3-3 right now, outside of some free throws made, you know, a miraculous shot from Phil, from Embiid. Like, we have to also remember that, you know, you already pointed out Gary Trent was sick in the beginning of the series. Scottie Barnes obviously had an ankle injury. Fred VanVleet, and I feel like yesterday's game, someone like Fred would really help steady the ship when we were going on that drought, just to, you know, just to keep everything calm, be the steady Freddy. And sometimes this happens in a series. Sometimes this happens in the playoffs where circumstances are just out of your control. I really do feel like if it was healthy, completely healthy, Raptors would probably take Philly in seven. But them's are the breaks, you know. Scotty obviously was a tear on game five, and you know, in the beginning of game six. And I feel like Fred may not have been. I think that if Fred was playing in game five, it wouldn't be the same outcome. But, you know, every single game is different. Every single series is different. And I honestly do think that, like, if we were healthy, if we were completely healthy in every single game, which we were not, same thing for Philly, it would have been a different outcome. So we were a free throw. Think about it. A free throw away from going back to Philly in game seven. I just think that we can't we can't take that out of consideration. That's all I'm trying to say.
And one final point on the grit and determination of this team. You look at there's still one more series going on. That means that there have been seven teams eliminated. Mm-hmm. Of the seven teams, when they were facing elimination, they collectively, those teams won three games, and Toronto won two of those. So in other words, the other six teams that got eliminated, five of them lost immediately.
Yeah.
Denver is the only one that won one game while facing elimination. The rest of them, in total, 1-6. And the Raptors, 2-1. Like, this is a team that, you know, push comes to shove, they will come to fight. And they did. And, you know, made me really proud to be a Raptors fan.
Yeah, yep. You know, the third quarter, the point disparity, that wasn't great. But we didn't get swept, and we saved ourselves of that embarrassment. You know, these outside of Moron Dragic, nobody else is like, ha, 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 oh, my God, these guys are out. No, I feel like a lot of people are astonished. And I feel like most people, even non-Raptors fans, and even some Sixers fans feared this. A lot of people thought that 3-0 uprising to win in a Game 7 was entirely possible. And, you know, that was real for a little while. And I'm grateful that the Raptors persevered and spared themselves an embarrassing series.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, because, like, I tweeted it out last week. We were fearing that we were going to get swept. Now, a week after, we were the only underdog in the East still in the playoffs, and the entire NBA wanted us to pull this off. We put the fear in Philly. Like, if you watched some post game interviews and you know, even like some interviews of the crowd too after game five Philly, they were astonished. They didn't know what hit them, and they were that seed of doubt was growing miraculously, right? Yes, kudos to Philly for you know, showing up. Their star showed up. Doc Rivers definitely had a game plan coming after the half, and they won. And they won this first round. Fantastic. Good luck to you in the second round. But at the same time, it's like, no one thought that this was, I think a lot of people thought this was going to go to seven, but once we were down 3-0, nobody thought we were going to get a single win. And then out of nowhere, we got two. And then the doubt kept on creeping and creeping and creeping, and we made them scared, you know? And that's what I loved about it, because we were down. I even said last podcast, I was like, you know what? We're probably going to get swept. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's go for it. I was so happy that we got one, you know, even two wins from this series. I was so happy about it, man. Like, I'm just glad that we didn't fold. And I think that's the testament of this team, how Nick Nurse is like, gives that kind of mentality that, like, look, we're down 3-0, but let's just go in the next round or the next game as if it was 0-0. And I feel like that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Doc Rivers had to, like, face questions about it to the press, I was like, how do you feel about you potentially giving the biggest lead away in NBA history? And he's like, man, what the f***? Like, why do I have to answer this?
Or, like, he was so defensive about it, too. And
to the point that he, like, crapped on his Orlando team. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, exactly. When was the last time you've ever heard a head coach saying, like, look at our team. Look at what I had to deal with. Like, what? You're talking about a head coach. Like, oh, my God.
Has anyone checked on Tracy McGrady's reaction to this? Like,
yeah.
Throwing you under the bus, like, 19 years after the fact.
Oh, like, my God.
Come on.
That is not normal, man, to hear something like that from a head coach that's still playing. From a retired head coach, sure. From, like, you know, George Karl calling out Boogie Cousins, sure. Why not? Both, you know, he's not in the league anymore and he has a lot to say. But, like, from Doc Rivers that has won championship and has definitely, a lot of questions about his 3-1 tactics, like, come on, man. Don't throw your team, like, past teams under the bus.
The Kings situation's quite different because he was responding to Boogie, who said that he had nothing. And that was a little bit, and he wasn't throwing his team under the bus. He was just being defensive towards what DeMarcus Cousins was saying. This was different. Doc Rivers was like, did you see what I had to use in the playoffs? And it's like, dude, you've just disrespected an entire, you know, 15-man squad, an entire coaching staff, an entire organization. Like, what? And Tracy McGrady's not exactly a scrub. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know, man. I've always thought that Doc was always kind of a fraud going in. Like, great.
Well, yeah, sure, speaking of context, let's see the one team that did win. Kevin Garnett, Hall of Famer. Ray Allen, Hall of Famer.
See the team that you had? You know what I mean? See the team that you
Rajon Rondo
used? Ooh, anyways, I thought that was hilarious. Sorry, Jay, for cutting you off.
No, it's all good. I mean, between that and some, I think the Sixers had already put out a tweet about, or already put round 2 playoff tickets for sale before yesterday's game. I thought, oh man, this is a good omen for the Raptors, right? But you know, ultimately, it is what it is. And, we can, I can finally stop wearing Raptors gear every time there's a game. That's my superstition. I'm wearing Raptors gear all the time.
And here's my thing. I know, Dre, that you're a Sixers fan, and I do like some parts of the Sixers. I'm a huge fan of Tyrese Maxey. Danny Green's, you know, is always going to be a Toronto Raptor to me, and I've liked Tobias Harris for a while. The thing is, there's an ignorance, there's like a cockiness and to when it comes to like Joel Embiid and James Harden, and albeit they're fantastic, fantastic players. I'm not taking that away from them, but like, you just don't like them. Yeah. You know, and I'm trying to, like, not because we've seen this team so many times in the playoffs, but like, if I was a Philly fan and I'm trying to put myself out of this Raptors fan, if I was a Philly fan, is it easy to support players like that? Like, is it easy to be like, you know what, Joel, yeah, sure, he can be flopping all over the place, but like, I'm still gonna support him no matter what. Like, it's hard. I wouldn't want to be a part of this whole fan base at the moment. Like, they're clearly, after game 5, when the boo birds were out and people were leaving, like 4 minutes left when they were only down by 12, which was a very winnable game. That organize or that fan base is like on the brink of like, we are going to, I guess, like, turn on this team. Like, it's so close for turning on this team because of the crap that we've had to go through. So I'm just thinking, like, for Philly fans, like, you've gone through so much, it must be really hard to root for these guys. I don't know, it could be just me.
Well, I also think it's hard to root for people that talk a lot of crap and then also don't show up occasionally. So, like, somebody like Marcus Smart, who never shuts up, I've never seen a guy who commits as much as he does. And I used to get so frustrated with his flopping, but that's because the guy's trying everything and anything to get to where he needs to go to. And the fact that it's worked up to a defensive player of the year, I mean, good for him. Good for him. On the other hand, what does it look like when you have cold spells? You get Joel Embiid and James Harden, who talk a lot of trash, or they have a certain...
throw each other the bus, too.
Exactly. Like, and when they have cold spells, it's like, why are you talking? Like, you scored zero in a game, Joel Embiid. It's like, stop talking and do what you need to do. Now, when they're good, they're fantastic. But that cockiness and that milieu to them when they're not playing well, it makes it easier to, or harder to forgive them when they're not playing well. So why even have that at all? Whereas you can have, like, I don't know, say a Tim Duncan or a Nowitzki or a guy that kind of just does what he needs to. And if they have dry spells or whatever, you're not going to chastise them because they're not talking like they're the greatest things that God ever created. And that's kind of the thing. It makes it easier to forgive.
You know what's the greatest thing that God's ever created? Is you guys and Raptors Twitter. This has been a great season, guys. Like, this is honestly, like, I can't thank you guys enough for another successful season. Like, this is what, 4 years now we've been doing this. And you know, speaking a bit selfishly here, I mean, my first full season on the Raptors beat and with media credentials, this has been an amazing season. And like, I can't thank you enough for, you know, pushing me along to be a better communicator. And all the listeners who've been listening this season, like, this has been, you guys have fueled me. And I can't, honestly, I think this is partly why I'm so excited about next year. It's not so much to see the development of the Raptors. Well, yes, that is a big part of it. It's because I get to continue talking to you guys. It's because I get to continue communicating with the Raptors Twitter community. This is fun. Like, I don't know if I've had a more fun season than this one.
For sure. For sure. And I think that for all of us Raptors fans, again, we're just doing this because we love the team, and to see the team grow organically, you know, and not having to buy our way to this championship. And it's been fun watching this team grow, watching them, you know, love each other and us growing with them. I think it's been a fantastic year, and I will continue to do this for as however long you guys will have me, however long these listeners will have us, you know. Like, I've been having a lot of fun, and I wanted to give a moment to shout out, like, the people and the broadcasters who've been doing a fantastic job on both TSN and Sportsnet. And like, shout out of course to Will Liu and Alex Wong, who like basically gave the Raptors community someone to listen to, someone to rant to, someone to like, I say this a lot of the times, where when I was working at Sportsnet on 590, I was behind the board, and I kid you not, it was like maybe an hour of Raptors a day, like if we were lucky. And it felt like either every other day, and sometimes it felt like just a month, like an hour a month. Like, it was minuscule to minuscule. It was Jays and Leafs, and albeit they were both still pretty good, but like the Raptors was an afterthought. And now since the 2019 championship run, of course they've had a little bit more fan base, but without the team of the Raptors show, like, those guys really put it on themselves to put the Raptors community together. And shout out to, like, you know, the personalities, like Kayla Gray, Amy Audenbird, obviously Paul Jones, Adam Williams, Matt Devlin, Jack Armstrong, like, Kate Burness, like, everybody that we see, we listen to, like, holy crap, man. Our like team of Raptors broadcasting and team of however they, all those people who bring the Raptors to the forefront while the Leafs and Jays are still playing very, very well, is incredible. So I can't, not only that the Raptors themselves have such a bright future. Raptors broadcast, Raptors podcast like ourselves, and you know, Confederacy of Dunks, Raptors Queens, Dishes and Dimes, all of those podcasts that are starting, coming up, keep going, keep doing it, because more and more content, we need it all in order to keep growing this community, man, and the artists as well. Like, it just keeps on growing. That's why I love being part of the Toronto Raptors community.
And I got to add our own site here, right? And Josh Kern, our editor at Raptors HQ, who's constantly been a supporter of this pod, of my writing, late nights editing my stuff. It's honestly, I can't thank him enough. And also he's the reason why I get the credentials that I get. So thank you to him. Thank you to Sean Woodley, who's also like, I feel like a part of us look up to him, right? In terms of that ability to podcast 100%. Every single day. You know, we've been guests on his show. That's one man. It's crazy. Right. And I mean, to your point, Jason, like, we can spend another half hour just thanking various people, and that's just a sign of how much Raptors Twitter has grown, right? But yeah, it's been an amazing season, and I can't wait for what the off season holds, because again, with someone like Masai and Bobby Webster at the top, that's reason to be excited alone, right? And just throw in the fact that this team has shown strides up and down the roster. I mean, it's you know, can't wait, man.
Yeah, I'm grateful to everybody that's listening. So many people that stuck around with the Raptors all these years. I feel like we've always had a legitimate organization, and there's been a lot to celebrate the last 10 years or so. I feel like we're very fortunate that, you know, I would consider this a bit of a rebuild stage, but it's like barely one. We haven't had to like become the worst team in the league in order to do so. In fact, we defied so many expectations this season. You know, Van Vliet got an all-star. A lot of people now think that Siakam should have as well, and there's a good chance he might make All-NBA. We've got a rookie of the year. We've got one of the easily one of the top 10 coaches, if not one of the top 5 coaches in the league right now.
Top three.
I mean, potentially. I mean, I mean, it's tough. We have so much to look forward to, and we have, for the most part, a relatively optimistic, loving fan base. And it feels very good to be a part of this sometimes, where, you know, you know, to wrap things up a little bit, it was brought up earlier how a lot of Sixers fans, and this isn't meant to create a disparity, but like might have left earlier in the game, or were booing their own players. Outside of like Bargnani and Rafael Arujo, I can't remember the last time the Raptors fans have ever done that. I feel like what comes to mind is when they were cheering the Raptors, I think it was like the last time they were eliminated from the playoffs, or you know, during the LeBron era of the Cavaliers, we would stick around and just cheer them on until the bitter end. And I love being a part of that. I think it's fantastic, and I feel like the fans are deserving of this franchise that doesn't have this, you know, drama nonsense or egotism or anything. We just get to work and we fight hard, and that's been the Raptors' motto as long as I can remember. And the most dramatic it's gotten is, you know, the occasional Dragic or Alonzo Mourning who decides not to play for us. Everything else has been people putting down their heads, getting to work, and trying to produce some magic for an entire nation. And I love it.
I love it. And you know, again, I want to say thank you guys for listening to That's a Wrap podcast. For us, we'll probably we'll stick around for the rest of the playoffs and, you know, off-season talk about what we're going to do, what we would like to see from the Toronto Raptors, what Masai's going to do, and possibly what he has already got cooking on. So we're going to keep this one short, but you'll hear from us next week. So from you know, on behalf of myself, Jay, and Dre, you know where to find us. It's been a fantastic season. Again, That's a Wrap podcast, a podcast for fans, for Raptors fans, by Raptor fans. Until next time, that's a wrap.